All right. So I finished the series When God Said No last week. And I thought to myself, well, I got a couple weeks before Thanksgiving. So I'm instead of starting another series, I thought I would. Well, we just got finished singing. Let me say this. We just got finished singing. You change us from glory to glory. And I was talking to my brother Carl earlier this week or the prior week. And I was just reminded of how every one of us is changing by the hand of God, by the will of God. No one is staying the same. Amen. Marriages change. Relationships change. Everything changed. Why? Because we are all changing. Hallelujah. But in the church, we're changing for the glory of God. We're changing for the better. Christ is changing us. So I'm overwhelmed with this thought of God changing us, but the focus not being on us, but being on Christ. And so as I started reading the book of Matthew over again, I came to this one verse of scripture, and that's all I'm going to be able to cover today as it relates to the genealogy of Christ. The only title I could think to come up with is the miracle seed of Christ. The miracle seed of Christ. And our text, where I read and I couldn't go any farther, was simply this, Matthew 1:1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. The book of the genealogy, this is how Matthew opens up his gospel. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And this is our text. This is what we're going to deal with today, because in this text, we have three men mentioned, yes, but we also have three covenants mentioned. We have in Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant, Genesis chapter 12. In David, we have the Davidic covenant, 2 Samuel chapter 7. And in Jesus Christ, we have the new covenant. Amen. And also, all three of these men are Jews, happen to be Jewish. Amen. According to the will of God. So God came in particular to the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, and he made three covenants, more than three. And then there's the Noahic covenant in Genesis 9. But not to Jews. Abraham was the first Jew, right? But God came to the Jewish people in Abraham, David, and Jesus, and he came and he established covenants with them. And I know the Jews are maligned and, persecuted in the earth, have been for a long time. But they were a chosen people that God chose to reveal himself to, and this was a thought that absolutely just blows my mind every time I think about it. But there was a time in the flow of things, time in history, where when God did not reveal himself to anybody but one people and as a whole, where God was revealing himself, and that was the nation of Israel. During the times of the patriarchs, God came to Abraham and he revealed himself to him. And then he, through the nation of Israel, he revealed himself and set up laws and told them how to have a relationship with God. No other nation had that, but the Jewish nation, but the nation of Israel. And so they hold a special place in history. Why? Because God chose to reveal himself to not only this nation, but through the whole earth. And it started with them, right? We know Abraham was, you know, Jewish. David was Jewish. But even the new covenant, was prophesied in Jeremiah 31:31. God said, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Jesus did not come to establish the new covenant. Initially, he did not come to establish it with the Gentiles, with us. He came to establish it with the nation of Israel, the house of Judah. That's what God had always intended. And that's why he said it in Jeremiah. He goes on. Did I read it? Yeah. Jeremiah 31:33, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So when Jesus said in Luke chapter 22, this is the new covenant in my blood, he was talking to, what was that, 11 Jewish men, 12 Jewish men. The new covenant was established with the nation of Israel. Now, Israel didn't know it, but they came to know it. But God, the mystery of God was that he also, through the new covenant, brought in the Gentiles. God chose Israel, but then he chose us after to graft us into this olive tree, for which we give God eternal praise and thanks. You know, God didn't have to choose anybody. Think about it. He didn't have to choose, but he chose us. I don't know if you rejoice in your salvation every day, but I do. Yes, indeed. God chose me. He chose, but before he chose us as Gentiles, he chose the nation of Israel. And he established covenants with them. Now, so this is, Matthew is laying out how it all began. That Jesus came from David, who came from Abraham. And here we see Christ, the son of Abraham, the son of David. Here we see the sinless and perfectly righteous Son of God coming out of fallen, sinful, and broken men. This is what stopped me about just about this verse. Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, was the son of a sinful, came from a sinful and broken David. Amen. Carl was having a little trouble with this a couple weeks ago when he said, for those of you who want to call, Carl said, man, I get it, his sins were forgiven, but good gracious. I was like, yeah, I know it's rough, but their lives, our sins were forgiven too. Amen. The son of David, the son of Abraham, and we've said before, the miracle of Christ coming into the earth, the sinless one came into the earth and came through sinful vessels. Sin. How can, I think it's in the book of Job where it says, how can the clean come out of the unclean? Who can do that but God? Only God can do that, right? So Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to earth through fallen, sinful, and broken man, so that fallen, sinful, and broken man, and now made righteous man, might follow him out of the earth to God in heaven. So Jesus came in through Abraham, David, through the nation of Israel. He came into this sinful nation. From the inside, he now redeems us, causes us to be righteous. And he exited, and we're all going to follow him in righteousness. We're going to follow him in eternal life, and we're going to follow him in eternal destiny, being in heaven with God. Amen. New heaven, new earth, wherever that is, we're going to be with him in God. This was in God's heart before God called Abraham, because this was done from before the foundation of the world. And it's astounding to me every time I read about it, how that in our history, these people existed, that God was in the earth from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation. God was doing one thing. He was revealing himself to his son, Jesus Christ, and all the glory goes to him for how he redeemed man from his broken state so that we might live eternally with God in glory. Now, what I want to do is briefly, I want to briefly show us this line through the scriptures where God did it through the miracle seed of Christ. So let me start with Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Adam and Eve have fallen. They've eaten of the fruit. God is now, he cursed Adam, cursed the woman. Now he curses the serpent, and he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman. Some people say this is why women hate snakes. We ain't going there. And between your seed and her seed. I know my wife would definitely say, hey, yeah, that's why. And between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. And now in this verse that comes to the serpent, I want us to notice that God says, and to, her seed, the seed of the woman, God does not say to the seed of Adam and Eve. He said to her seed. Amen. The seed of the woman without the male counterpart, without the human counterpart. In other words, this is the seed of the woman. This is the seed that's going to be born without male intervention. This would be the seed of Mary. When God came to her and said, you're going to bear a son. And she said, how shall I bear a son? Because I know not a man. He said, the Holy Spirit of God will overshadow you. Amen. Therefore, that Holy One which to be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Said, and between your seed and her, capital S, seed. So who is this talking about? From the very jump, from the beginning, this was God's plan. To bring Christ into the earth. What's so beautiful about this is how God would bring his sinless, eternally perfect and righteous son through broken, human, fallen, sinful flesh. So we see it happening here in the very beginning of creation. God comes to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, and he makes a promise, more than one promise, makes promises to Abraham. He says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. What do you think that word, what do you think God was referring to when he said, I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing? You know, some people, they talk about, well, you know, well, you want to be blessed? Yes, I want. We have all kinds of notions about being blessed. God has his understanding and his desire and his will for what it is for us to be blessed. I will bless those who bless you and will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So we see God's intention about blessing Abraham here, but not only in blessing Abraham, but in blessing him, that blessing would extend to all the families of the earth. All right. So there's this general promise made to Abraham that Abraham understands, my seed is going to be blessed. And through that, through my seed, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. Well, when God was delaying giving Abraham and Sarah a son, you remember Abraham and Sarah said, well, we got an idea. Yeah, we're going to help you out. We're going to help things along, Lord. There's Hagar over there, Sarah said, and Abraham went into Hagar, and Ishmael came out, and Abraham, God was talking to Abraham one day, and Abraham said, oh, that Ishmael would live before you. And that's what we covered in our last series, when God said no, and God said no to Abraham. Not so, that's not happening. But Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Because it was in that conversation when Abraham was wrestling with the whole thing of, do I let Do I listen to Sarah about putting Hagar out of the house? And in this chapter, in chapter 21, Genesis 21, God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad, that's Ishmael, or because of your bondwoman Hagar. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice. And all the wives said, amen. For in Isaac your seed shall be called. Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman, because he is your seed. Abraham did not know that it was going to be through Isaac that God would bring his seed. Why? Abraham thought that God said through your family, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. But God narrowed it down. God, there was progressive revelation. Abraham didn't have it all at once. It was here that God said to Abraham, he says, in Isaac your seed will be called, not Isaac and Ishmael. Not Isaac and Ishmael, but in Isaac your seed shall be called. This was the seed of Christ. Not just any old seed. Now there are all kinds, there are plenty more scriptures that I could have shared where the New King James makes a distinction where the King James doesn't. God said to, because God gave Abraham promises, more than one promise. He said, your descendants, I've promised them land. I'm going to send your descendants into a land that they're going to inherit. And they did inherit that land. And that was part of the promise. But here in the New King James, it makes a distinguishing between your descendants and the seed. The seed. Because this seed is a very particular seed. Has the nation of Israel blessed all the families of the earth through everybody who was born in the nation of Israel? No, it hasn't. I mean, remember Einstein was a blessing, but not in any way that Christ is, right? He's Jewish. So God did not mean that through everybody, every person born to the tribe of Nebulun, and Issachar and Judah and Levi, all those people are going to be a blessing to all the families of the earth. God did not mean that at all. For in Isaac your seed shall be called. So now Abraham understands that in Isaac, why Isaac? Because Isaac was brought about by God. It was a miracle birth. In other words, I'm going to do this, Abraham. I'm going to do this. I'm going to cause you to have a miracle seed, just the way Joseph and Mary had a miracle seed. So God said it again in Genesis 22:18. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Not in your descendants, plural. All the nations of the earth are going to be blessed, but in your seed. So God confirms his covenant with Abraham, and his seed. Then Abraham passes on. Isaac comes along. He matures. He grows into a man. And God appeared to him in Genesis 26:4 and said, I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. And here's where we see a distinction. I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed, descendants plural, in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Now that could be understood in plural or singular, but in the Hebrew, it's in the singular. So God confirms his oath to Isaac. Notice the descendants is plural while the seed is singular. So God confirms his oath to Isaac. He does the same thing to Jacob in Genesis 28:14. Also your descendants shall be of the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and the south, and in your seed. Again, we see the distinction between your descendants, the nation of Israel, the Jews, the nation of Israel. They're going to spread abroad and God's going to make them numerous. They're going to inherit the land. And then he says this, and in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, what's interesting is that all of these instances where God says your seed, God is referring to a person. God is referring to a person. And when you look up seed, all throughout the scriptures, of course, there's seed, the sower, soweth the word, planting seed, right? For crops and produce and so forth. But only in these particular instances in the Noahic covenant, in Genesis chapter 9, the Abrahamic covenant, God is talking about people. He's referring to a person. So God does that through in the Abrahamic covenant. We've just looked at that. But then it doesn't stop there. Only one other time does God do this in the scriptures, and he does it with David. Jesus, the son of Abraham, the son of David. God made a covenant with Abraham and said, through your seed, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. God made a covenant with David. Amen. Based upon God's grace alone, based upon nothing that David had done or would do. God made this covenant with David. He said, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, your seed. I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. So the seed now that God told Abraham he would give him, we see it now mentioned in the time of David. But it's been narrowed down because you remember God gave Abraham Isaac, one. God gave Isaac Esau and Jacob. But God never promised to bless the nations of the earth through Esau. God rejected Esau. Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. So the promise then came down through Jacob, and nor did this seed apply to all the 12 tribes, all the sons of Jacob, but it came down to Judah, of which David is a member. He's a member of the tribe of Judah. So we see the seed being narrowed, the progressive revelation coming down to Abraham. He thought, well, all of my family, my whole progeny is going to be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. God meant one. God meant one. And he told David this very thing. I will set up your seed after you. Well, David had many sons as well. But to whom did Christ come through? Solomon. He came through Solomon. So God would confirm his oath to David in the Psalms. We see it in Psalms 89 and verse 4, where God said, your seed I will establish forever and build up your throne to all generations. This is God speaking to David through the psalmist in Psalm 89. And God confirms over and over and over again the Davidic covenant, the seed that he promised to give to David. He mentions it over and over. And when God repeats something, amen, it's so that we get it. It's so that the people of that day would get it. So we see the seed starting in Genesis chapter 3 and going through millennia. God is bringing Christ through millennia into the earth through broken, sad, human, torn up flesh. The perfect one, whose throne would endure throughout all generations. Psalm 89, 29. His seed also I will make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. In verse 36, his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. This is all these things God said about the seed of David to whom he promised David. right? So when we get to the New Testament, when Jesus stood up on the last day of the feast, he said, if any man be thirsty, let him come unto me and drink, and I will cause out of his belly shall flow a river of living waters. When people heard Jesus say that, they said, truly this is the prophet. According to Deuteronomy 18, Moses said, a prophet is coming, like unto me, him you shall hear. And if you don't hear that prophet, you're going to be, you know, cut off from your people. He was prophesying of Christ, prophesying of the Son of David. So the people said, this is the prophet. And they were questioning. They were divided because some said, has not the scripture said that Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem where David was? And if they had checked, they would have seen Christ indeed fulfilled all of these scriptures, that he was a Nazarene. He lived in the town of Nazareth. Men of Egypt, how I've called my son. When Joseph, the angel told him, take the child and flee to Egypt, and his mother flee to Egypt. And the angel called him once Herod was dead, and he came back and he settled in Nazareth, right? All right. So we see the seed now traveling all through history, all through the Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant. It goes on and on and on. And then we get to the book of Acts. And Paul says this in Acts 13, verse 22. And when he had removed him, that would be Saul, when God had removed King Saul, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse. That's out of Psalm 89, verse 20. A man after my own heart, who will do all my will. That's 1 Samuel 13, 14. From this man's seed, from David, from King David's seed, according to the promise that God made to David, the promise that God made to Abraham, the promise that God cursed Satan with, according to that promise, God has raised up for Israel a savior, Jesus. So we see the seed coming all the way. And throughout all of human history, this is what God was doing. Hello. This is what it's all about. this is number one, what God was doing. I know we just had election. We're looking at this, looking at that. Oh my, everybody wanted what they wanted. Oh my. And I'm sitting here saying, no. I'm sorry, none of it, none of it. Jesus Christ is building his church. He said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Everywhere in every nation, Jesus is calling his elect and saving those who belong to him, who trust in his shed blood on the cross, and the fact that he rose again on the third day. This is what God is doing in the earth, and this is what begs the attention of the church. Hello. Paul preached to the Jews of his day that Christ was the seed of David, and as such, he was also the seed of Abraham, and ultimately the seed of the woman. He was the seed of the woman. Paul would say it over and over throughout the New Testament. He tells the Romans that he promised, which God promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. Amen. We know David got his body from his mother, but his spirit was of God. Hello. Didn't come from God, was God, was of God himself. Amen.
Amen.
He would go on in 2 Timothy 2:8. Paul said, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Remember that Jesus. Paul always, he ties Jesus Christ to history. It is historic. This actually happened. And Paul is clear to remind the people over and over and over again that God established covenants with those who were prominent in their history, Abraham being the first Jew, the founder of the Jewish race, if you will, the Jewish people, rather. David, with whom God established a covenant, and David, with whom God established a covenant, and Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of, he's the son of David who will sit upon the throne of David forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So, Paul then makes it very clear in Galatians 3:16 when he says this, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And he does not say, and to seeds as of many. In other words, as of all the tribes of Israel. Come on. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, right? Asher, Naphtali. No, not as to many, but as of one. When God made that covenant with Abraham, he was speaking of one seed, not of all his children, but to one of his children. And Paul says, and to your seed, who is Christ. He makes it very clear that all those references to seed that God was talking about in Genesis, then in the Abrahamic covenant, then it came up to the Davidic covenant. The world is blessed through the seed that is Christ. So as I said before, the revelation of God in the covenant of God was progressive. It went from Abraham's seed, and Abraham's thinking Ishmael and Isaac, and God reveals to Abraham, he said, in Isaac shall your seed be called. Not in Ishmael, in Isaac. And then when Isaac had twins, he had Esau and Jacob, God made very clear to him, no, it's going to be through Jacob. Why? Because Esau rejected his birthright. He didn't value it. He didn't want God. So it came through Jacob. And then when Jacob had children, he had 12 children. His name was changed to Israel. And he had Reuben, the firstborn, Simeon, the secondborn, Levi, the thirdborn, Judah, the fourthborn. Amen. Reuben should have gotten the birthright, but Judah prevailed. And he got the birthright. Hello. So it wasn't every tribe that God was going to use. It was the tribe of Judah. The tribe of Judah was prominent in Israel. It broke camp first. It went to battle first. Jacob said of Judah, you are he whom your brothers shall praise. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. Judah, outside of the tabernacle, when you went out of the tabernacle door, the first tribe, there were tribes camped to the east. You want to know what the first tribe was? Camped closest to the tabernacle door? Judah. So God was making distinctions here and there throughout the scriptures. And Judah was also the most numerous tribe of all the tribes of Israel. This was all pointing to Christ who would come. So the tribe of Judah was narrowed down, and then God made the covenant with David. With David. Not based upon anything that he had done, because David was a murderer and an adulterer. God did not establish his covenant with David because David was righteous. Nor did God establish any covenant with anyone because they were righteous, because there is none good, no, not one. There are none righteous, and God has concluded all under sin, Romans tells us. So, this brings us back to Matthew 1. Go to the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, as we see Jesus having come through this genealogy, if you will, of sin, he came through Abraham, he came through David, into the earth. Jesus then turned around and he left. But when he left with a whole bunch of people following him. A new genealogy is written in heaven. There's the book of life in heaven. And in that book, it has every name of every person that Jesus Christ made righteous. He came through sin, but he didn't leave the sin, because The one he came through who was sinful, Abraham, he's now been made righteous. The one he came through with David, he's now been made righteous. All the Jews who believe in Jesus, those who were sinful, fallen, and broken, Jesus Christ, when he left, he declared those who believe in him as righteous. And there's a train of people. There's a genealogy that stretches, that rivals any genealogy we've covered in the book of Matthew and the book of Luke. There's all of these righteous people. Your name is in that genealogy. My name is in that genealogy, and I rejoice in it every day. Don't you? So, oh my goodness. In Christ, all the families of the earth have been, are being, and shall be blessed. You say, how so? And the answer is through faith in God's promises, just like Abraham and David were blessed. As a matter of fact, Paul then goes, we've been looking at the Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant. Paul mentions Abraham and David together, and he talks about how their faith worked for them in Romans chapter 4 and verse 1. Paul states, what then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. When God told Abraham, he said, go out of your tent, look up at the stars, and if you can count them, he said, so shall your seed be. Abraham couldn't count on the stars. He simply believed God. He simply said, yes, Lord, you said my descendants are going to be like that. I believe you. And the Bible says that that was accounted to him for righteousness. He simply believed God. Abraham, the works of the law had not been instituted yet. So this was before the works of the law. This was even before circumcision. God made a promise to Abraham before he was circumcised. And so Abraham was not made righteous by the works of the law, but on the justification of faith. Because he believed God, he was accounted to righteous, as righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith shall be accounted for righteousness. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted to him for righteousness. Christians don't work to be declared righteous. We believe, and we are declared righteous by God. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. And if anyone knew and understood that blessing, it was David. Remember what Nathan said to David. The Lord has put away thy sin. You shall not die. How could Nathan say that to David? Because of the seed of David, Jesus Christ, in whom David believed, to whom David looked. Right? So here we have Paul mentioning Abraham and David. We have the Abrahamic and Davidic covenants mentioned here, pointing to the new covenant in Jesus Christ, where Jesus said, this is my blood shed for the remission of sins. Shed for the remission of sin. We're justified by faith. Paul said in Romans 5 and 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The moment we believe in Jesus as our Savior, that he took all of our sin, we got peace with God. I pray that peace is ruling in your heart today. Amen. Okay, so back to Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed who is Christ. And I'll close with this. Listen at what Paul says in this next verses, this next flow of scripture. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. All distinctions have fallen to the wayside. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And listen to what Paul says. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed. Weren't Abraham seed? Because we belong to Christ. And by extension, the blessings of God flows from Christ to the Christ who is in us.
Amen.
We can share the good news with other people. The blessings of God come through us. And we are, he says, and if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, and listen to what he says, and heirs according to the promise.
Amen.
You say heirs of what? Well, what did God promise Abraham? He said, well, I'm going to make you great. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you land. I'm going to give you, that's what God said to him. Well, I didn't put this scripture in there, but for anyone who doesn't understand what it means to be blessed, let me share it with you. I'll just share a scripture. You can look it up on your own. Acts chapter 3, verse 26. Acts chapter 3, verse 26. Because when God said, he said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. Let's be clear. Acts 3:26 says, Paul is preaching to the Jews. And he said, God has raised up his servant Jesus, and he sent him first to bless you. He sent him first to bless you. And then Paul defines what it means to be blessed. He says this, in turning every one of you away from your sins. So I got news for anybody who's mistaken about what it means to be blessed. When God says, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. He was talking about turning him away from his sins. If you hear people throw around all kinds of words. Even unsaved people say, I'm blessed. She said, if you don't know Jesus, if you haven't been turned away from your sins, if the blood of Jesus hadn't washed you, listen, you are not blessed. The first order of blessing. The first. I won't hear about no money. Yeah, I use the double negative. That's right. I don't want to hear about blood. I want the lie. I want this. God bless me with that car. God bless me. Foy! Stop. No. The first order of blessing is Jesus Christ turning you away from your sins. Now, then, here, he says, and if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Heirs of what? Well, God promised Abraham land. I didn't get into all of that. It's too much for one sermon. He promised Abraham land. Well, let me ask you a question. Did Abraham get in that land while he was here?
No.
He didn't. He didn't get the land. He bought a burial plot for Sarah. That's all he got from the sons of Heth at the cave of Machpelah. He got this to bury his wife, and that's all he got. He didn't get the land. Matter of fact, Hebrews tells us that he's looking for a city whose builder is maker is God. Let me tell you something. The land that God has for Abraham, it's the land we're in. It's the new Jerusalem. It's the holy Jerusalem. It's our inheritance with God in glory. God promised him that he would make Abraham great. Jesus said, if any of you are to be great, let him be servant of all. I'm waiting to see all the great people in the kingdom. those serving everybody. They serve without fanfare. They don't make a big deal about it. They just serve. So we are Abraham's seed. Why? Because we are Christ and we are heirs according to the promise that God made to Abraham. So through faith in Christ Jesus, we are Abraham's seed, just as Christ is Abraham's seed. And we are heirs according to the promise of God through faith in Christ, just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham was an heir of righteousness. You know, when we see heir, we think stuff. I want, if somebody dies, I'm going to get some stuff. No. Abraham was an heir of righteousness. He didn't get the land God promised him, but he was an heir of righteousness. He did get the righteousness because in Genesis 15:6, the Bible says Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. You know what God wanted? God didn't want him to have the land then. You know what God wanted him to have then? Righteousness. Oh God, fix our vision. Fix our expectations in this life. Oh God, open our eyes, I pray. Lord Jesus, Christ descended from heaven into this sinful human race, took on sin and death, destroyed the whole sin and death, had on the human race, and now holds forth the promise of eternal life to all who will come to him by faith, believing his atoning work on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. Therefore, rejoice evermore in your faith that has been given to you. We're not saved today because we did something. We're saved today because God gave us faith to believe the gospel. Amen.
Amen.
Christ are you saved through faith and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We can only boast in God who has given us faith that we might believe on his son, Jesus Christ, unto eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
All right. That concludes the message for the day. Any questions or comments on the teaching?
Great work, Pastor. Great work.
Amen. Thank you.
That's a good word.
All right. All right. If there are no questions or comments, I'm going to ask Pastor Bill to close us in prayer.
Hey, this is Carl.
Hey.
Just want to let you guys know we're celebrating our 34th wedding anniversary today. So anybody who put up 34 years, you need to get
one. Congratulations. Amen. Diane, I'll get some say. I'm going to say something, girl. Oh, look here. Diane, you something. Man. Hey, look here.
You're not wrong.
God keep you like he kept my wife. That's all I'm saying.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We give God thanks and we rejoice with you and pray many more blessings of God upon your life. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory. All right.
24 years. Wow.
Yes. Yes. That's where it ought to be. Yeah. All righty. Thank you all for coming on. And I encourage you to share the blessing of Jesus Christ with anyone who will listen. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you in doing so.
Yes.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye, everybody.